Hello. Welcome to WHFR 89.3. Let me introduce myself. I am the Diva. My show, Lyrical Infusion, is live on air Saturdays 5 to 8 p.m. I invite you to join me for an exceptional musical experience. It's not really a show, it's a whole vibe. It's me, the Diva, add music, and it's live. Lyrical Infusion with the Diva, Saturdays 5 to 8 p.m. As you desire, I bring the fire. 89.3 on your radio dial, WHFR.FM. That means we were a wild child, and we're still making waves.
Percent of community college students report food insecurity and are going to bed hungry. Shocking, right? A friend sitting next to you in class could be going hungry and you'll never know. The good news, HFC is here to help. The Hawk's Nest has non-perishable food items available for students experiencing hunger. And you can help too. By donating non-perishable food items or money, you can be sure that 100% of your donation goes directly back into your college community. Donate today and fill a friend's plate. Go to hfcc.edu and search Hawk's Nest.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Happy Friday and good afternoon. Welcome to this edition of the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, and it is my pleasure to say an official welcome back to the campus community for our fall semester here at Henry Ford College. The community at large gets in on the action as well, and we do hope that in some way the connectivity between Henry Ford College, WHFR, and our beautiful community at large is a positive and pleasant one. And we welcome our students back for the new semester. We welcome new students as well and are excited as that buzz of energy is here back on our campus. Well, kicking off a new semester always is the president of Henry Ford College, Russ Cavalluna, and he does his annual State of the College address. Well, this took place Tuesday, just a few days ago, and we have that recording for you. We will air it just about in its entirety. In addition to the State of the College, you will hear from a trustee and board member of the HFC board, the one and only Jim Thorpe, who will be sharing some golf analogies about the college. Kind of interesting. I think it was pretty well received also. And then towards the end of the discussion, you will hear a bit from the new Executive Director of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging here at Henry Ford College, our first ever Director of DEIB, Ms. Tracy Davis. We're going to have Tracy on a future show to talk a little bit more about her new role here at the college, but I wanted to give you a little preemptive intro of who you'll be hearing during the next 57 minutes. Enjoy the discussion. We thank you for joining us on this edition of the Journal. So this is pretty new information all the way around with our president, Russ Cavalluna, and his State of the College presentation from August 22nd, 2023.
My name is Russ. I'm a teammate. I'm the president of the college. I've been here with you all for 5 years. This is my ninth State of College. And I'm very excited to be here with you all. We're going to start with a few housekeeping logistics, and then I want to introduce you to the chair of our board, who is joined by his colleague on board, Trustee Mary Kellerskoff. And before I start with that, I want to say, I want to invite you to help me in thanking Bruce Paul and his team for what I can see as a wonderful presentation. And I have to say a little funny story. I have been making these speeches 9 times over 5 years. You know, I've been here 5 years with you all, and this is a really important job for me. I love this job, and I'm excited to talk to you a little bit about why as we go through this morning's presentation. But there's really only one thing that's more important to me in this job, and it's my family. And my little guy surprised me last night. What are you going to do? I mean, I'm going to make a State of the College speech, and So he's 10 years old, but he's been here half of his life. And he's heard about the Faith of the Palace several times. He said, I think I might want to go to that. And I said, okay, well. Well, you missed the other eight. And his little sisters, I'm not going to be outdone, so she can go up there, there's food there. Of course, you know that there's pancakes. I don't remember, Bruce, that we've done pancakes before. We have. Okay. Don't tell my kids that, because I don't. This is the first time we've had pancakes. So Miles got his three-piece suit on. He's sitting right up here in front of his little sister. It's an exciting time for me to be here, and I do want you to know that it's a pretty cool thing to have my family here. But another really cool thing is to have the support of the board. The board is led by, as you know, set of elected trustees from the city of Dearborn. Amongst themselves, they elect a chairperson, and they both oversee the school district, which is the third largest public school system in the state of Michigan, where my two most precious resources attend and run. But they also have the third largest community college, which I believe is the best community college, not only in the state, but in the country. And I hope that they agree, and most of the time they do. And they've been supportive of me and my family. So each year at the state of the college, I give the chair, and I ask the chair for an opportunity to have brief remarks. So I will invite and ask you to give a warm welcome to Trustee Jim Brooks, the chair of the Board of Trustees.
Good morning. And welcome to the school year. So this is either the second or the third time, I believe, that I've addressed you, and I'd like to believe you keep it fresh, not be verbatim thinking over and over. So I sat here and I thought, what do you say to a kid's group? What do you say to a bunch of people that are in the academic world that probably have more advanced degrees than you do? I'm not going to try to do anything better intelligence-wise, but instead, let's hit with my beauty. And I have to say it again. So I thought, let's try something that I've been spending an awful lot of time with. Golf. My son has decided to take up the game of golf. He's been playing with me for several years, but now he is fully focused on golf. It's nice when you're 16 years old and you've got summer free and you can get on golf course three times a week and maybe go hit a bucket of balls with your friends another time. So you've got to the point now where you're competing with things. But there's a lot of things that golf can teach us about life. So I thought I would share that with you. I thought a good place to start with golf. Keep your head down. There are many, many things that can distract us when we're golfing. But one of the most important things is watch that ball. Just focus on the ball. Don't worry about anything else that's going on. Now, with the college, we've got many, many wonderful things happening right now. The board gets the reports all the time. We see that student enrollment is up. Credit hours are up. We're in the second year of a strategic plan. It's going well. We've got projects being finished, projects on the drawing board. There's a lot of things going well, but we need to keep our heads down and remember what got us here and keep moving forward. Sometimes in golf, we decide to get a little bit cute and decide that if we hit it a little bit harder, good things will happen. You gotta be relaxed. You gotta hold the club gently, not over grip. That's another important thing. And sometimes we like things because we go just our way, we want the perfect day. But it's not going to happen. So you might as well relax your grip. Think about when you were back in school. You had an exam the next day. What's going to work better for you? Cram all night? Pull the all-nighter? Or get a good night's rest? You can all decide what works better for you, but for me, it's usually that. Let's get a good night's rest and see how this goes. Another thing you learn, teamwork. I mentioned you want to keep your head down. Don't want to play the ball. Ask your teammates to watch. None of us work in silos. We all have to work with others. So trust in your teammates to pick you up when you're down. If you need help, ask them for it. But don't offer help if it's not asked for. That's a very bad thing to do on the golf course. Practice what's most important. Why does every single person on the driving range have a bucket of balls with just their driver? If you golf correctly, you're only using the driver 14 times, but you're probably using your putter, well, let's be honest, 30 or so. So practice what's most important for you in your daily work. Sometimes you will hit a beautiful shot with a fairly fast range. Sometimes you will scull it, which means you'll have a warmer, which means it's a very, very ugly shot and a stupid thing will end up 2 feet from the hole. What matters is the result, not how you got there. So remember that you're going to have days where the alarm didn't go off, the power went off, so you had no way to get up on time, you were rushing to get here, you're not dressed quite right, and God knows things still went your way. It's a miracle, but it happens. And finally, on that last hole, some miracle of miracles, you'll have the best hole of your life, and you'll decide, I should do this again. That's what it's like this, isn't it? There's going to be the good days, there's going to be the bad days. Face each other up when those things are happening. Know that this is going to be a great year. They're not all going to be fantastic ones, at least from a day-to-day standpoint. But the board is always here to support you, looking at the big picture items, making sure this college continues to meet its mission and vision statement. Good luck with the upcoming 23-24 school year. We look forward to a great year. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And one more time, I do want to introduce his colleague. We have Trustee Mary Telichoff, who's here in the front. And I see your colleague, Trustee Irene Watts, there at the top of the stairs. And I, Trustee Watts, can you see any of your other colleagues? I don't think I saw any other trustees. Trustee Watts, did you see any other trustees up there? Okay. All right, well, let's get started. Thank you all for being here. I want to do what I usually do at the beginning of these speeches and welcome my teammates. Thoroughly raise your hand. I'll tell you, one of the things that I enjoy the most about this job is working with you all and what is really a privilege to be able to change lives through public education. It's something that has been a lot of deep resonance within my own family's history, but also with my connection with you all. So I take a lot of pride every year. I do these names because it feels good to talk about my teammates. So Maria Alicia is in facilities. Lisa Bradley is the executive director of HR. William Brennan is in campus safety. Sterling Chetina is in facilities. Sterling, if you're here, my last name's hard also. Rachel Chester is in advisory, Gregory Coates in campus safety, LaJohn Collier in facilities, Moses Davis in facilities, Tracy Davis, our new executive director of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, who you'll hear from later this morning. Bakita Ebo in student support, Dina Gray in campus safety, Laura Hamza in advisory, Lamar Harris, I saw Lamar. Yeah, I knew Lamar, both. Lamar and I saw in high school together already. He's a recruiter. Don Hestand in Veteran Services. Tyria Kendrick, I saw Tyria. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Cal. She is our director of K-12 Relations. Sarah Friesen, advising Allison Lowe in student support. Cole Lowe in facilities. Phil Button, director of MAR, Team Montgomery in facilities. Trina Moore, not new one, but a new role, director of nursing. Brianna Canal, admissions. Recruiter Robert Pavlowski in facilities, Tracy Perry, director of admissions, Amal Gureshi, advising Brad Roman, I think I saw Dean Roman. Hi, good morning, Dr. Roman. Renata Ruan, Rob, student support, Daryl Stanborough in student support, Kelsey Taylor, advising Hannah. Rathawi and the West team, Rachel Ann Dolphin advising, Diana Watkins in academic affairs, Nakari Williams in advising, Laura Wilson in IRPI, which is institutional research, Doria Wilson in advising, Raya York in labor relations, and Jason Young, just brand new from the last board meeting, director of IRBI. So for those of you who are here, welcome. For those of you who are not here, you probably aren't hearing your name, but please tell your teammates in your department folks that we were excited to call them out by name and say welcome. The next group of conversations are for those people who have tenured or are unfortunately leaving our employ. Hannah Zavala is an ELI instructor who is the chief tenured. Of course, you see the names there of those who will be retiring or are retiring very soon. Now, I will tell you that I know some names are not on this list, and if you see this list and you wonder, well, why is my name on the list? There's many reasons. We know that I don't even know myself some folks who aren't on this list. You do plan to retire, but we treat that pretty sensitively. So these are the folks who have identified themselves already and given us the authority to congratulate them. So, these are folks that will have earned what we all hope to have, a meaningful career where at the end of their career they can look back over their shoulder and say they had real impact. And I know some of these people are close to me, and I congratulate all of them. So we also have a new leader here amongst us. I didn't see Tracy Davis yet, but Tracy, I know she has Tracy right here. She's the new executive director of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. I'm going to ask her to make a couple comments because that is a new role here at Henry Ford College that I know you all are interested in. And that was a commitment from me to you at this presentation that he would get this done. Dr. Michael Hill is the chair of the faculty senate. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Good morning, Dr. Hill. And Trina Moore is director of nursing. She's been with us for quite a while. You know her, but she's taking a new role. And I neglected to know that, I didn't know this, Dr. Hill, 27 years of teaching and 17 years at HFC. And if you don't know Dr. Hill, you know he's been a leader in many, many different things, including the BCEI, co-founding the Writing Center, and now he's going to be the chair of the faculty senate and has been elected by his colleagues. And he'll take the mic after me and Trace here at the end of this presentation. And I would be highly remiss if I didn't thank Dr. Hill's predecessor in the chairmanship, Dr. Tony Perry, who led the Senate so ably for about many years. Tony, here. Comes to us from Delta College. He was working with Dr. Lori Yago, who's vice president of a number of things, including IRBI. Yes. A couple leaders came to us before, very recent time, and I wanted to just make sure that you had a chance to meet them. I'm going to identify all these folks because I think I saw all of them. Hold your applause, and I want them all to stand up so you see them, not just see these people, because they're all fantastic teammates, and I know they would enjoy having the opportunity to have you walk up to them and take a look. So Lisa from Human Resources, please hold your applause, stand up. Lisa, Jerry Kendrick, who I already mentioned. Tracy Perry, I didn't see her, but I'm sure she's here. That's Tracy Perry. And then Dean Brad Roman. So these are all leaders. These are people who are actually getting things done. If you're not knowledgeable about the tools that you are, you better be into the kind of workforce of our academic unit. Our recruiting department is new and transformed, and Tracy is taking that bull by the horn, so to speak. She reports up through Rhonda DeLong. Lisa Bradley is running HR, and she reports to Lori Gasco, and she's doing really, really great work. She just lost a superstar in Tracy Perry, so she's trying to fill that. I'm sorry, Tracy, not David. So she's trying to fill that position. And then Syria is doing HR relations, which is some really exciting work that's happening on the track. Pump up our enrollment from the major goals of our first part of our strategic plan. So please welcome all of you to your class. Okay, so not the time this morning I'm going to talk to you about why I'm so excited to be here. And this morning I was kind of looking over my shoulder for the last 5 years, probably because my kids decided to come watch and come in, but what have we done over the last 5 years? And why I love this job so much is because of what this picture embodies. And this is the beginning of a student's life with Henry Ford College. This is a young man who posted himself on Facebook, "We HSC baby, Henry Ford College official." Now, Caleb is from Detroit, and he's clearly excited to be at Henry Ford College, and this embodies why I know you all get out of bed more. I know that because you all have talent that could be so valuable elsewhere, but you've decided to invest it here. Now, you want a meaningful life, and you want a livable wage, but the truth is, you really want an opportunity to meet students like Caleb. You want to be able to come to work and know you'll make a difference in these people, because you know it does make a difference. And the reason why I'm so excited to have this job is because I know it too. I see it in ways and how you do your job. So I want to just take a few moments and tell you why I'm so excited to be here with you, because it's the beginning of a fall semester where we have the privilege, the immense opportunity, to meet more students like this, to help them on their path, and it is so monumental. It changes lives, but also it helps us exist. It helps us prosper as a college. People are noticing your intense focus on student success. I promise you 5 years ago that if we worked together and built a culture of teamwork that we're really focused on student success, if we make students the most important thing, and goodness knows we humans in any human endeavor, we just figure out all kinds of things to focus on other than focusing on fall. We can focus on internal struggle. We can kind of get frustrated with a coworker. I do all that. I know it. I don't focus on the ball as well as the chair mentioned you should. But if we did focus on students, we would simultaneously be doing what we came here to do. And then people outside of higher education would start to focus on it. And we've been through so much in the last 5 years. So much of it we didn't anticipate, and some of it we weren't even really prepared for. But what we did accomplish was a culture where we continually focused on student success, even when we didn't want to, even when we were scared about the pandemic, even when we had struggles about who was going to lead certain departments, even when we had struggles about collective bargaining agreements. We kept coming back to it. This is our teamwork culture now. If you go to a room at Henry Ford College, you have employees there, from me to anyone else, you can be assured that if the question is off focus, we can always bring it back to student success. And that is the reason why the first time an interim governor is tenured, she decided to hold a summit for higher education and invite every single trustee of every 2- and 4-year public institution and every CEO. And she decided to have it in this room. And the reason she did was because she saw when I told her about Google that this is the place where we have built a culture that singularly focuses on student success. And it makes us unique. It makes me really excited to work here. It makes me know why I get up in the morning. And it delivers the kind of opportunity that these two students, who are on the opposite end of their life journey from Henry Ford College, from Caleb. Some of you have seen these two women. If you don't know them, I'll offer 9 minutes if you remember. The woman on the left of this picture is Kelsey. The woman on the right is Sarah. You probably saw about 5 months ago, Kelsey was pregnant. And you probably saw her on maybe Good Morning America or People magazine, because she was on the side of the graduation stage, and she told the team that she refused to not be able to graduate. She was going to walk across that stage despite being 38 weeks pregnant in labor. And we made it happen. And the world noticed it. But the reality is they didn't see what I knew, which is what you all have been doing for years. And Gretchen Whitmer noticed. And she wanted to meet this student, who, by the way, came to Henry Ford College in a free college program that this governor set up, and that you all worked so hard to provide free educational services to people like Kelsey. Because Kelsey wanted a better life. She was working part-time at the Dearborn Public Schools. She had to struggle through community college to get a 2-year degree, and during the time got pregnant, but did not stop. Now has graduated, become a mother, and is on her way to East Michigan University to be a teacher, where, by the way, we've established a really great pipeline to Eastern Michigan University. And we had 9 months baby back twice. And since this little one was at 8, I haven't held a baby other than 9. Which tells you how invested I am and how invested you are And Darren Parks on the right side of this picture also got to meet the governor because they're also in the Henry Ford College Group Free College Program. They're working full time, mother of three, spouse. And for those of you who held those roles, you know they're the hardest working, most diligent people on the planet. But yet somehow Darren figured out a way to get back into college after trying decades ago. And then get through. And I know some of you know these students. I know their wives get up in the morning, and their wives are so excited. It's the thing. Less than 3 weeks ago, those two women who are HSC graduates were standing on this stage right here introducing one of the most powerful politicians, and by the way, women, leaders in the country that happened here because of what you all have been able to do in your culture and focusing on student success. All I'm doing is highlighting. And that's why I'm so excited because we're on the precipice of coming out of some really difficult times at the college. And we're going to start getting a couple of victories, and this is the beginning of it. So that's why I'm excited to be here. Now, it wouldn't be the same as college, those of you, if I didn't give you a enrollment report. I know this is not the most sexy and fun part of the conversation, but it is my job to identify you that all of this great work we do for Sarah and Caleb and Kelsey, all of it is based on our ability to pay our bills. And unlike most community colleges, the majority of our expenses are paid with tuition dollars. Most community colleges are something below 50% of their revenue comes to tuition, but ours is above 50%, which is okay because it makes us have to work hard to serve students, enroll students. It's also why I focus on it like a hawk. Now, since the pandemic hit, we've been going down in enrollment, not precipitously, but small chunks, and we're about 9% below our high water mark for the fall. This was the fall of 2019 where I was up here drawing about our first enrollment increase. I don't want to do that. But right now, we are, if we look back at this time last year, in other words, if we look back to where we were right now last fall, we are actually up. We're up by 2% from where we were a year ago this time. Now, we've got about 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter of this game. We've got to finish strong so we can meet our goal for enrollment. For those of you that are policy wants and money wants, we've got to enroll about 100,000 credit hours, and we're about 4,000 short, so we're close. But I tell you this today, not only do you make a difference in Sarah's life, and Caleb's life, and Kelsey's life, if you see a student who you think you can help, I'm asking you, do what I see so many of your colleagues do. Literally touch them, whether it's physically or electronically, and make sure they feel that they have what they need to enroll and to be supported. It's the right moral thing to do, but for John Sekowski, it'll bless our hearts because it will be the way that we can continue to support the work you do at the wages that you have earned. The next thing I want to talk to you about is our strategic plan. And we just launched a website that gives you some opportunities to look at the strategic plan initiatives that we've rolled out. I continue to invite you to communicate with me and with anybody present because they are all taking ownership of it. To look at how we're going to achieve our strategic plan goals. If you haven't seen our strategic plan, you may have been living under a rock. I think I wake up, my kids would probably recite the strategic plan by now. But we've got a unique strategic plan. I challenge you to find any community college or four-year institution or really any institution of humans doing really important work. They can put their most important goals on one page. We narrowed it to 8 goals, and that's because you all and the board decided we were going to make strategic plans student success focus, and we are unique in that regard. So I want to tell you about a small thing in each of these areas because there are 4 pillars. One is access, one is retention, one is completion, one is transfer. If you haven't had the opportunity to look at the city plan, please do. The first pillar has two goals. All pillars have two goals, so there are 8 goals. The first pillar has a goal to increase enrollment by African American and Latinx students. And I want you to know that this is serious work. So curious that Terry Perry and I have worked together to figure out ways to get into the schools where these students live and go to them and say, I want you to come to Henry Ford College. I know you can be successful. I know that some of your community have been telling you you might not deserve a chance at college. Maybe college isn't worth it. But I'm inviting any of you who want to join me. We have to go to these students because the truth is, there is no community college in Michigan to serve a higher percentage of poor students than us, except one. There's a very small community college in Northern Michigan, but all the other 31 community colleges are below our percentage.
72% of our students are fellows. Those are students who, if we do not go and directly say to them, college for you is a path to a better life, demonstrably, you'll make $800,000 more of your life than if you knock out the Social Security. You'll get into community college and have a free tuition process that if you can get through this morning, you'll probably have to walk across the street now. You'll double your wages as a first-year employee. And we want you there. We have to be willing to get out of our skin. And I got to tell you, when I was in Pershing and King and China, none of those students had my background. And, you know, it can be kind of intimidating to go to lunch people and say, college is for you, but I don't live your life. I'm inviting you to come with me because it will make a difference. And I say to those students what I just said to you, I don't have your background, but I do know. If you show up and have your work out, you will have a chance at a better life. And we put real work behind that. With Curious Work, we have a summer program where students were watched from these schools. In 3 weeks, we fed them breakfast, we fed them lunch, in between, we help them feel like they belong on campus and get them ready to work for the opportunity. I point to you to this. We are moving on access, and we see this as one of the pivotal goals, and I need your help. The next is retention. Now, I told you that because of our strategic plan, we're getting attention from outside entities. That's true. Now, if you don't know anything about the Detroit Clowns program, it's a free college program for Detroit high school students and graduates. It's been around for almost 6 years. And Henry Ford College has by far the most students in that group. We've got almost 1,300 students over the last 6 years come to Henry Ford College from the Detroit Clowns program. And the next closest is half. So we're serving this population, but as you know, this is a difficult population to serve and to serve well. They've got transportation barriers, financial barriers, societal issues that come between them, but we've got all in. We have devoted resources and space to these students. And I know those of you, and I'm looking at my friends in the classroom, I know you are devoting disproportionate resources to them all. And now we've got billionaires. The family that owns the Buffalo Bill runs a foundation called the Ralph Wilson Foundation. And the co-founder of Microsoft, a guy named Ballmer, who now lives in California but comes from Detroit. And they decided they were going to give $30 million to schools that are trying to help students through economic mobility. And so we competed for the last 4 months for the biggest share of that $30 million. And we won. Because of this strategic plan, and they gave us money to hire more of these coaches for Detroit Promise. They need some more money to give these Detroit Clowns students disproportionate support, which is what they deserve. If you want to talk about equity, it's what someone deserves to have a chance to life-changing environment and support college. So we continue to plow resources into this group of students because you all have allowed me to show how focused you are on student success. You know the picture, if you don't know the people on this slide, I invite you to say hello to them. They're the leaders of the Detroit Clowns, and I don't know if any of them are here. Is Rico here? At least it's here, I believe. Is Rico here? Okay. So, please, if you don't know about the Detroit Clowns, go see their offices in the, student center. Now, the next pillar is completion. And what our goal here is to both increase the percentage of our students who graduate, and not to say it, we gotta get up our graduation rate up, but we're making great progress. But we also need to get the number of students who walk across the stage to 3. Those are really two different things. Sorry to go into just a little bit of detail, but the graduation rate is kind of a narrow window of first-time, full-time students and how they do in 3 years. Fine, we're going to try and shape that after. But there's also the life-changing result of Kelsey, who took more than 3 years because she's appointing success. We want more just basic aggregate completion. And so what we've been able to do is take that strategic plan and go to another group of people who are willing to fund support systems. And we hire college completion coaches, which again, they're not against our bottom line. We have external funding to support these. And I want you to know that groups from the AmeriCorps to the MDM, which is the Michigan College Access Member, continue to focus on you at Henry Ford College. It's the place that's going to do this work the best. And now, with this support, we simply have to perform. And I know that we can do it. And I'm excited to chase these metrics, which is, again, completion, over the aggregate sentence, and graduation rate. The last thing I want to compliment is the last pillar
of our strategic plan. And that is, we know that if students come to Henry Ford College, the majority of them tell us they want to transfer to a four-year institution. But because we got good at listening to students and what they were struggling with, we learned that one of the inhibitors of that is, I don't want to have to ask the university for permission. I wasn't even sure how long it takes to be in the first place, but what if I ask the team in Dearborn or Wayne State to come across the street to be part of their institution and they say no? You know as well as I do, a lot of our students are still battling a little imposter syndrome. We also know that the cost to attend Henry Ford College is very, very low. The return on investment is great for students, but the return is depressed. And when they transfer to foreign institutions, they're terrified of it, sometimes actually experience loss of credit. So we took those questions, and frankly, there was one person who was bad, this was Dr. Michael Lee, who was a dog with a bone on this. He just kept going to institution after institution saying, we need our students to be able to have automatic admission, and we need our students to have 60 credits transfer with junior staff. And I've got to be honest, Michael, I've got, for years, I didn't think we're going to get there. And in the last year, by force of will, and these two pictures don't have Michael in these pictures, and I'm the only one why. Because he's such a selfless guy, we got these agreements. We got these agreements, and we had big shows about it. But on both instances, Michael had something he had to say here, and he couldn't be there. But the truth is, behind Michael's work, if you graduate from Henry Ford College now, and you have a grade point average that meets the threshold that the university should and does that, then you don't have to ask for permission to walk across the street to show them your point. You don't have to wonder if you're going to lose credit out. Same thing with Wayne State University, and Michael and I are going to meet with the Wayne State University in East Lansing next week to try to get one more of them. Because what we want you to be able to say to Caleb and to Kelsey and to Sarah is, if you come to Henry Ford College, not only are we interested in giving you the valuable we need here, we want to pave a path for you to become successful at the next step, because that really is the goal today. Every single one of you, other than these two little ones, knows it's valuable for your degree. And I'm trying to get them to learn it right now. But you know, our real goal then is to help people who want and can achieve a four-year degree have a seamless path to that. And with these two agreements, and many more to come, what we've been able to do with Dr. Neal's complete support and effort is to say, at the only two-year college in the state, you come to HSC, a degree, an associate degree, and a ticket to ride to any of these things. No one else can say that at their school. And this is all a result of the strategic plan that you all have leaned into. This is the reason the governor is giving them more money. This is the reason that the industries are coming to us. These are the reasons why I'm so excited to be here. Alright. It wouldn't be a state of the college unless I write about how we're doing some great stuff on campus. One of the most exciting things we have the opportunity to do is name the part of our campus in honor of our fallen and former teammates. And later this afternoon, we're going to do that for our student center where we will honor our erstwhile colleagues, John McDonald and Rick Gower. John McDonald from a vote by unanimous vote with our board of trustees. We'll have the student center named after him, and I do want you to know, for those of you who are new, John McDonald was a tireless servant at Henry Ford College, both as a teacher and a labor leader. He, here, I always get this down off, but I think president for 44 years as a collective bargaining unit leader. He was a giant in our community, and we're honored to be able to show the name of John Bell on the student center later today, where I'll invite you to come and enjoy that festivity. I believe there'll be dignitaries from around the community. And then right after John Bell's naming ceremony, we'll go down to the band room where we'll name that after Rick Gower, who, you know, by John, both of these individuals left us both too early as employees and as colleagues and friends. And so this will be fitting way to honor their legacy both at the college, but both on that time on the serve. Of course, is Steve Blazer here? Is that you right here in the picture? You look that I have. Yeah, so it's just a gallery. I think Steve during the pandemic, Steve came to me and said, you know, we gotta reuse this gallery. And I said, well, we're hemorrhaging money and I don't know if we're gonna get bailed out. And I can't do it yet. I promise after the pandemic, we'll get back to it. So the physical gallery is something that Steve, your Valley knows well that we've resonated and we're excited about. We also, before the pandemic, were able to get a good chunk of $8 million out of state government to expand the Texas building at Ocean Heat, and we're just about ready to cut the ribbon on that. I want to bestow a lot of thanks to a couple people. Dean Pat Chapman, I saw Dr. Chapman here, and Dean Pat Chapman is the brain and muscle behind this wonderful expansive construction project, and Ruben Rodney, who we haven't met, he's director of facilities, and he is also the one who deserves a lot of credit for that. We're going to be sharing more information about when we're going to cut the ribbon on this building, which is just one example of a project that we continue to plan and started to build despite the pandemic. And it's just about to be open. In fact, Matt, are we letting people in it now? All of them. So the other thing I want to tell you about is I got a phone call from the community members. I drove by the college, and I asked, are you going to change your lawn officer? And the answer is yes, but I have a lot less, because we have decided that we were going to try to find a way to reduce the cost that we have for the college. And some big costs are irrigation and use of water and electricity. So about 3 years ago, the Board of Trustees allowed us to try something called the Integrated Energy Master Plan, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more, but I'll just say one part of that, and the theory here is that if we implement best practices in our infrastructure, we can save millions of dollars on how we water our plants, wash our hands, and flush our toilets, and even more millions of dollars on how the lights turn on and off, how we heat and cool our buildings. And we found international companies who said we can guarantee those cost savings to such an extent that you have to change all your lights and stop watering some plants. And if you don't have the savings that you think and we agree to, we'll pay the difference. And it's a 15-year project to accomplish those savings. It cost $23 million. And one of the things we had to do was stop trying to make San Golf Course look for a community college, which I have to say I was a little suspect of. But in year three now, what you're starting to see is what they're about, which is these natural plants take up to 21 million gallons less per year. They bring natural wildlife and fauna back. And in year three now, they look not bad. Yeah. I do see the money today, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, but this is one of the things we're doing. So the one thing I want to ask you to think about over the next 6 months is that about 25 to 30% of our revenue comes from the citizens of Dearborn willingly agreeing to give up some of their hard-earned money in property tax, which my family is proud to pay, but is a political question that we have to revisit every once in a while, and that once in a while will be coming. If the board approves it, there will be coming up to that question of our village, hopefully in the beginning of 2024. So what I will ask you to do is consider, for those in your social circle, to talk about why you're proud of this, particularly those people who own property in both of your homes. Tell about what it is that Henry Ford College is. And if you don't want to tell them, I hope you can see the outline. I do a lot, and I'm really excited about it. Bring me to those folks. Stay tuned for more information about whether the board decides we will ask for a village renewal, and if so, what the process will be. But in the meantime, get your best argument to your friends and colleagues who are over this year. I want to talk about a couple of words on that, and then I'll be pretty close to wrapping up. John Zekowski recently was named a notable leader in training for energy, and it was for the IMD. And this is what I was proud to write the nomination about. There is no institution who has made the audacious goal of saying we're going to reduce our carbon footprint by 50%. We're going to reduce our water usage by 40%. And we're going to reduce how much we're increasing efficiency in electricity use by 60%. But if that weren't enough, we also got an employer to promise that they would guarantee the cost savings and help us find students who could learn this curriculum, and help us go to Congress and ask for more money to do this work. So it probably wouldn't be a surprise to you that Ukraine, and those of you that don't read Ukraine, the business publication, the CEOs and C-suites of employers in the private industry read this periodically. Which is why I kind of nose in on them and say, look, HRC is the place you need to come to find students and innovation and the best people associated with higher education. And so they listed at all these folks who got this award, and only one was an IRA. And I know you know him, but I do want you to help me and congratulate him, because John Beckowski has been a great friend of me. He was your interim president in a dark time for the college. He is the one that has helped us forge a path to financial success. And it's just going to be a lot of great pride that the region identified him as a notable leader. So please welcome and thank him. And he gives my students tomatoes and lettuce, right? Thank you, Dan Howard. Cucumbers, yes, cucumbers, John. I did like the cucumbers. All right, this one's going to be hard to get through. But, so if you haven't had a chance to meet for you, I'll tell you about it. And I know that that's an awkward one, because I think everybody here knows who Kathy is. Which is why it was a real pride point for the board and I to nominate Kathy for the Association of Community College Trustees Professional Board Staff Award. And I'm really excited that she won this award. Because it says for minutes that Kathy has decided that she's going to enjoy some time away from the college after 46 years having served Dearborn Public Schools or the community college here. And she served three different presidents. And I know that those of you who have been around for three different presidents know that they're very different people. Very different people. But she's earned the trust and respect from all three of those leaders. And I know that she's earned your trust and respect. And so it was a really exciting thing for us at the board to say, hey, this person started working in public education when she was in high school and has stayed ever since. She has served 16 trustees and she served three presidents. Those two categories are the definition of herding cats. And, the ability to care about people while still getting things done and integrity are off the charts for Kathy. It's going to be hard for me to ask Kathy to leave my office. It's been a team of two that have gone through a lot. And, I've tried my very best to get her to stay. but she has so many really, really wonderful things to go be with, including a very patient husband, grandkids, and so it is a bittersweet moment for me to say to you that she will be leaving us with an award, and I just want you to join me in thanking Kathy for that. Hard work for you. All right, I'm going to wrap up now and then talk to you about Urban World. This is what we can do for the next year, for the next 2 years, for the next 3 years. We can continue to be the leader on student success. And I promise we can win this. And it is a competition to be the leader on student success. I told you that these funders and those billionaires. Well, they're the ones in the picture here. They chose us for a disproportionate investment in our student success initiative. This is Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, who chose us to give federal tax dollars. And you know those folks from Arizona and Cancer and all over the country. They came to Henry Ford College through Debbie Dingell and said, I want to invest in the INC, that project that John got the award from. And the reason was because we connected to Johnson Control. We connected our students to a successful outcome. This is real, tangible outcome from the work you are doing, and that we are going to continue for the next several years. Debbie Davenport said, I want to be out of the outcome by Debbie Davenport. So she came, and gave us even more money for our
where does it teach students in these three curriculum programs? I'm telling you, come with me on this journey. Stay with me in pushing for students to have a better experience. You all can do it. And if I can do anything to help you do it, let me know. I'm ready to make that investment. I know it's going to be worth your time and your effort. And it was the biggest, best result just 3 months ago when the state government had to decide what they were going to do with a bunch of federal money that was left over. And we fought and fought and pushed and pushed and said we need to replace that old, tired K building. And we want to put a great new building on the site that's called the Student Success Center. And we want a line item appropriation for Henry Ford College. And that was the process was big. For the very last hours, Henry Ford College was the only community college that got an eight-figure line item. The only community college that the state said, we want to give you $10 million to go after student success goals. This is real proof of the work that you're doing that's making a difference. It wouldn't be helped, it wouldn't be possible without the foreign support of us, without 1650 and the other collective labor units helping us. This is the chance you have. You can be on this team and push us towards being successful where no one is even close. And that's why I'm so excited to have you guys on my team. And so excited to be on your team. Now, what we deserve is a place where it's a good place to work. You clearly have a president who's going to keep pushing to win this fight on student success. But you deserve a place where it's safe to be different, where we enjoy and value our diversity, where we show students how to disagree with each other in civil ways. And as a result of that, we have gone on a years-long process to try and improve the way we act on diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And we've had so many difficult and important discussions, analyses after analyses. And now, after a long process, we've identified a leader who's going to help us improve on this point. Help me improve. She's going to report directly to me. She's going to meet with the captain. And she's going to help all of you help us show our students what a diverse and vibrant community looks like, both to learn and to live and to have a working environment. So if you haven't already met her, I've asked her to come and give you a few remarks about her work. And I do want you to know, this is someone who has my complete support, and I'm excited to be able to introduce to you our new Executive Director of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging, Chris Tracy.
Good morning, everyone. I am honored, excited, humbled, and terrified. It is not long for me how important this role is. And I believe we all know that colleges, organizations, institutions all across the country have been under attack. Diversity initiatives, anything related to DEI and social justice have really, really been under attack. So I want to thank our president, our board of trustees, our search committee, everyone. Thank you for the support in moving forward with this role. We've got a lot of work to do. So the magnitude of this position, the weight of this work is not lost on me. What I know for certain is that any long-term, sustainable, systemic efforts are not the work of one person. They are going to be the result and require communication, collaboration, and cooperation from the entire college community. Based on conversations that I've had over the last few years, I started with approximately 15 diversity-related initiatives that I'd like for us to consider. But I want to ensure that our student life cycle experience, from the moment they call or walk through the door to the moment they graduate or transfer, is an amazing experience. But I also want us to have an amazing employee life cycle experience, from the moment that we are recruited until hopefully the day that we retire from HFC. We also deserve a place where we belong, where we feel safe, and where we experience a sense of purpose. I think it's what we know for sure is that when the employees feel that it's a sense of purpose and belonging, when we are engaged, that naturally leads to enhanced performance, and that enhanced performance also leads to, or has a positive correlation, I would say, to our student experience. We spent a lot of time working here, so we should receive the same level of support and belonging as our students. So that's part of our mission as well. However, nothing is going to happen without partnership, and that means hearing directly from you. So over the next month or so, I'm going to be reaching out. I'd like to speak with our collective bargaining unit, 1550 AFO, DSOEA, FSA, Local 71, our event group. I want to hear from you. I want to hear directly from you what are your concerns. Want to talk to our business resource group, our employee resource group, our students individually and student groups. I'd like to visit one of our individual departments administratively. Also want to spend some time in the classroom and talk to our faculty members. What are their experiences? What are our student experiences? And how can we create an amazing environment for all of us? I also believe in transparency. I want to start a podcast as well that will allow us to hear directly from you. That will be a platform for our voices and our concerns, but can also serve as a two-way communication so that we can report back to you our successes on planned initiatives. Over the next month, I'm going to be contacting quite a few of you to join a DID task force, and I see that as having three primary objectives. The first is to help create a college-wide diversity statement. Who are we? What do we believe? I also would like for this task force to assist in creating objectives for this department. What do we want to do and accomplish in this department under this new role? And ultimately, I'd also like for this task force to create a college-wide DEIB strategic plan that we can implement over the next few years. I want to be able to report to you over the upcoming months the progress that we've made, so I'm going to commit to you again to that transparency. And I believe that through our collective efforts of equity-minded leaders as yourself, I think we have a real opportunity to set the standard for being an amazing, welcoming organization for, again, any student who wants a quality education, but also for anyone who wants to come and work for us, it's a great place to work. I'm excited. I know this won't happen overnight. I also know that we're ready to have some real conversations, and I hope that leading those conversations will lead to really substantial actions that are, again, long-term and sustainable, and that make inclusion and belonging a reality for all of us, not just some of us. So I'm going to ask you to reach out to me with your concerns, but also with your ideas and suggestions. How do you see this role assisting you? How do you see this role assisting students? What I know for sure is we may not be able to do everything, but we can do something. So let me know how I can help you. This role is of service to you, to the community, and to our students, and I'm here to serve you. So I thank you for your support. I've already come to see some of you, and I'm going to be reaching out again to a lot of you who are already sitting in here. Thank you. One last quick thing before I walk out of the room, what we're going to say, is I want to give a huge round of applause to my team. So human resources team, please stand up. The roles that are over in the corner, yep, stand up.
What we've done historically here is, I have one more slide on this. to screen the presentation. So what you'll recall from previous years is I'll do an email out that'll be much more comprehensive. Marijuana is a long one. I know some of you hate that, but it would be my attempt to have given you more information on some other things about the college as we start this semester, which will include upcoming events. I think Dr. Hill was going to start at 10:30. I'm fine to hand the microphone to him, but what we also have is a kind of a cultural norm where I take any questions you have. And then, as you may recall, back in January last year, we tried a little bit of a modification of the state of the college where it was more of a community conversation. We probably will try again in January. But to do just a little bit of that, I'm happy to. We've got microphones in the aisle if anyone has any questions or comments. I'm happy to take those, or if you'd like to just keep moving on, I can call us for a break, and then when Dr. Hill speaks and Senate, we'll be back rolling. All right, well, thank you guys. I'm excited to be your teammate. I'll see you around campus, and have a great semester.
Rock and roll from the 60s, mixed with the British invasion. 50s blues and R&B, with a slice of psychedelia thrown in for good measure. It's all on the Rolling and Tumbling program. Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn,